From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
You know what my greatest fear in life is that the hand of God ever get lifted off of my life. Because once that happens, we'll have a gathering, but we won't be the church. We'll sing religious songs, but there will not be worship. We will believe in God. But even those, God says, there'll be many on that day that'll say to me, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, I never knew you. So the presence of God is absolutely critical for the Old Testament people as well as us.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. In the Old Testament, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. The Israelites knew what it meant to live within the presence of God, and unfortunately, they knew what it was like to wander from His presence. Well, today Pastor Wayne will impress upon us the importance of living constantly within God's presence. Here he is with a message entitled, The Torque of God.
The reason I love the Bible is because God's Word is what transforms us. It just there's no other book in the universe God promises to inspire except the Bible. And when God took this Bible, He promised to inspire it. You know what the word inspire means? God breathed. In other words, you don't have the wisdom it takes to be the mother you want to be, the dad you want to be. You don't have the wisdom it requires to be the businessman you want to be yet. But you can garner wisdom along the way from these words, these people's lives, because the Bible is filled with raw, unedited accounts of people's lives through which God gave wisdom. And every problem you will ever face in your life will have already been faced by somebody in the Bible. And God deposits wisdom into those stories and parables and lessons. And here it is. God says this, I show no partiality. You know the wisdom that I gave to Solomon to write Ecclesiastes? If you will read Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, with an open heart, I will, the same wisdom I gave to Solomon to write those words, I will breathe that same wisdom into you, the wisdom of Solomon. Some of you need the wisdom of Moses as a businessman, as a leader. If you will have an open heart and enter the Word of God, I will breathe the same wisdom I gave to Moses, I am happy to give to you. And the leadership of David, when you read Psalms, and you read what David has written, I will be thrilled to breathe into you the very same wisdom and innovation, the grace, the understanding that I gave to Ruth and to Esther. I will be thrilled to give it to you. There is only one book in the universe He promises to do that through, and it's the Word of God. And so I want you to fall in love with the Word of God again. You see, if you don't have that love for the Word, then you don't know what it says. And remember in Luke 4, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil, every time He combated those temptations, He combated them with these words. It is written. Say that with me. It is written. Now watch this. If you don't know what is written, you have no recourse against the temptations of the enemy. Because how are you going to say it is written? Because I don't know what is written. You have to know what is written. Otherwise, you'll come to wrong conclusions all the time. I listen to some churches and the conclusions of the theology they come to is just ridiculous about morality and sexual things. And well, God loves us all, you know. So, in fact, let me tell you the story. One of my favorite columns in the newspaper used to be Dear Abby. Do you guys remember that? And there's this one that was really good. It says, Dear Abby, I'm confused. I'm married, but I'm in love with another woman. And so, no, I'm living with another woman. I'm married, but I'm living with another woman. But that's still not the problem, he said. Although I'm living with another woman, I'm actually in love with a third. What should I do? And then he says this, P.S. Now, I know God loves everybody, and God loves me, so don't give me any of that morality stuff. And so, Dear Abby writes back, Dear Confused, the only difference between humans and animals is morality. So please consult a veterinarian. You see, if we dismiss the morality of God's word, then we mess it up. Our conclusions are so wrong. They're just wrong. Want to hear another story? I got a bunch of them here, you know, so there's these, I'm talking about coming to wrong conclusions, right? There's three archaeologists, a Japanese archaeologist, Chinese archaeologist, and a Portuguese archaeologist. And the Japanese archaeologist, he dug down outside of Tokyo 10 feet under the ground, and they found copper wire 10 feet down. So they came to a scientific conclusion that 100 years ago, the Japanese had a telephone system that was throughout Japan. Whoo, they were all excited. What a great, great discovery. Well, the Pakes didn't want to be outdone. So the Chinese dug down 20 feet outside of Beijing, and they found some remnants of copper wire. So they came to the conclusion and said, 200 years ago, the Chinese had a phone system of sorts. 200 years ago. Well, the Portuguese, they thought, man, hey, we're not going to be outdone. So the Portuguese archaeologist went to the Azores, and he dug down 30 feet and found nothing. And he came to the conclusion that 300 years ago, the Portuguese already had wireless phones. Those buggers are smart, no? And the same is true with the Bible. If you don't know the Word of God, you're going to come to these weird conclusions. So I want us to go straight to the Word of God. So I want you to take out your notes with me, would you, in all the campuses as well, if you would take out your notes, as we talk about a very strange titled message called the Torque, or the Sacred Torque of God. The Sacred Torque of God. Now, one of the most important things you have to understand is the presence of God. The presence of God. You remember in the Old Testament, it was through the pillar of fire and the cloud. Cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And it was the Ark of the Covenant that when they would go into battle, they were assured of the what? The presence of God. When Solomon built the temple, God says, if the people will face this way when they pray, they will be assured of my presence. The presence of God. In fact, one of my greatest fears in life is not that, oh, I'll commit adultery, or my greatest fear in life is, oh, I'm going to get on drugs, or my greatest fear in life is, or I'm going to turn to be a criminal, or I'm going to become Baha'i or something. My greatest fear in life is none of those. You know what my greatest fear in life is that the hand of God ever get lifted off of my life. That the presence of God ever get lifted off of New Hope. Because once that happens, we'll have a gathering, but we won't be the church. We'll sing religious songs, but there will not be worship. We will believe in God. But even those, God says, there'll be many on that day that'll say to me, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, I never knew you. So the presence of God is absolutely critical for the Old Testament people as well as us in the New Testament. So we're going to take a look at this and what it says here in Exodus 33. And if you would turn there in your notes, and I want you to be here in your notes so you can read it right off your notes, or it'll come on the screen here. But let's read this. Now the people of God are going through the wilderness. Now they're getting a little stubborn. They're starting to complain. And God knows they've got many miles yet to go. So here's what he says. Would you read this out loud with me? Go. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and all the other electrolytes. And then he said, go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you. Why? Because you're a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. I looked at that and I thought, what do you mean? Well, God said, I still love them. I'm going to send a substitute. I'm going to send an angel. But I'm not going to go personally with you anymore. And it's one of the few times where God actually pulls his presence. It's a chilling verse. I love you. I'm going to send a substitute teacher with you. But you're a stiff-necked people. Destroy you along the way. Oh, you think, wait a minute. Is God a punitive God? Is God someone that's looking around for mistake makers? Anyone cutting corners so I can nail them? Looking for some violators? Maybe anyone having fun without him? See, it's like kind of like, ooh, look at that. There's Wayne. He's laughing. No, no. Yeah. Is God that kind of God? Moses knew, however, that without God's presence, he wouldn't want to go anywhere because there would be no direction, there would be no destiny, there would be no promise, and there would be no future. But yet God says, but if I go with you, I might destroy you along the way. But let's read now Moses' response. Would you read the next one? Go. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? You know what he's saying? If this church and if our church is in New Hope, Hawaii Kai, New Hope Community, and Manoa, Sand Island, and Leeward, if the presence of God isn't here, what's going to distinguish you from any other people? The only difference is going to be that you go to church on Sunday and the others don't. Everything else is kind of the same, the way we live our lives. If the presence of God isn't on us, then there's nothing that's going to distinguish us from any of the people of the earth. So then the Lord says, I'm not going to go with you. And he's, why? You have to see this. God is holy. God is holy. And in his presence, holiness is a standard. It's not an alternative. It's not an option. It is the environment. It's the routine. It's the program. Holiness. And that's why, and you read in the next verse, would you read Leviticus 10? Go. For those who come near me, I will be treated as... And 1 Peter says it this way, be holy because I am holy, the Lord says. So holiness in his presence is the program. Everybody got that? So if you're going to come into his presence, holiness is the program. It's not an alternative. It's not an option. It's the program. So you say, well, if I'm going to go into God's presence, I don't know if I'm holy. So what do we do? Let me ask you this question. Is holiness something attainable? I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about holiness. Is it possible? Is it attainable? Well, absolutely, because when God created us, he created us in his image. So if God created us in his image, he expects us to become people in his image. So you think it's a possibility that that could happen? Is it a possibility that we could actually become like him? Absolutely. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about holiness. The word holiness is wholeness. That means in Christ, I'm made whole. That my heart isn't going after other things to make me whole. I know only Jesus can make me whole. And I want to be complete in him. Do I make some mistakes? Sure. But my heart is a heart for God. And I know in him, I am made whole. That's the kind of heart that I want to have. You think that's attainable? That's how he created us. He knew we were human. He knew that we would stumble, fumble, and fall. But he knew that he created hearts that will yearn for him and that we know that we're only made complete in Christ. And so that's the kind of heart that he wants. Is that attainable? How much? 50%? 60%? Yeah, would you write in your notes, attaining his image is 100% possible. 100% possible. And that's the Holy Spirit's job. Let's read the scripture under number one. Would you read it with me? Go. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the... We're being transformed into the same image. What? Yeah. By the Spirit. In other words, that's the Holy Spirit's job. To what? To change you into His image. So in His presence, change is mandatory. Why? Because holiness, I'm not there yet. I'm a long way from holiness. And don't look at me holy, because you ain't near it either. How many of us have a long way to go to holiness? Raise your hand. Yeah, every single one of us. Therefore, what God is saying is there's a lot of changing going on. So if we're going to be in His presence, change has to be a constant. Everybody got that? Change has to be a constant. It's going to be happening all the time. So you and I must remain supple, correctable. We have to remain shapeable, ready to modify our thoughts, modify our opinions, and match His 3, 4, 5, 50, 60 times a day. Because when you're in His presence, there is a mandatory change order. Mandatory. Because He's holy. And if we're going to be in His presence, holiness has to be happening. So He's going to be changing us. So the mandatory change is real high. But you know what happened? The people became stiff-necked. What's your name? Kathy? Kathy, come up here for a second, would you? Zara, everybody give Kathy a hand right over here. Kathy, right up. Yeah, so. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the torque of God. Now, torque, there's a difference between horsepower and torque. Kathy, do you know the difference between horsepower and torque? No, obviously. Okay.
Torque is with help.
Well, let me tell you. Horsepower is a strength. It's like RPMs. It turns them fast. But torque is the ability to twist, the torsion, the power to get traction and turn. Otherwise, if it's just horsepower, you can have something go, but you put some tension on it, it'll go. Well, horsepower, on the other hand, will just keep grinding and grinding. So God has a torque to Him in that in His presence, things have to change because He is moving you to change. There is a mandatory change order. Now, if God is wanting you to change and you don't want to change, what happens? I want you to give me your hand. Okay, what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to turn your hand from here to here. Does that hurt at all?
No.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do, okay? All right, here we go. Are you ready? All right, just cooperate with me. All right, how was that?
That's good.
That's good. Didn't hurt at all. All right. This time, I want you to make your arm stiff. Stiff. So all I'm going to do, you don't have to do it right now, you're going to hurt yourself. But and all I'm going to do is I'm just going to do the same thing, okay? But this time, I want you to go stiff. Are you ready? Okay, everybody ready for this? Okay, now I'm just going to turn you. Now, what's happening to your arm right now?
Hurting,
yeah. Now, if you kept it like that and I turned it all the way, what could happen to your arm?
Could break,
right. Now, sorry. All right. Now, I want you to just give in to me. You ready? Here we go. Was that hard?
Nope.
No, easy, huh? All right. But when you made it hard, what happened? It hurt really bad right here. Right. Did I hurt you?
No.
Who hurt you?
Myself.
Yourself, yeah. Yeah. Give her a hand, would you? Thank you. You see, that's what happens when we're in His presence, God's going to change you, your thoughts, your opinions, your actions. And sometimes we get stiff. And God says, but if you cooperate with me, it really is easy. In fact, it just feels nice. But when I get stiff and say, no, I want my way, God is still going to be changing us because in His presence, change is mandatory. It's mandatory because we're not there yet in His image. So if I want His presence, change is going to be happening so that I can become holy to remain in his presence. If I don't want to change, he has to remove his presence lest I destroy you. So if I'm in your presence and you want the presence of God, we have to be okay when God starts changing things. But as soon as we get stiff-necked, something's going to break and it ain't God. He will destroy us along the way. But because he loves us so much, he says, you know, I'll send an angel or a substitute, but my presence can't go with you. Because if you're in my presence, change is mandatory because the Lord is holy, and he says, be ye holy because the Lord is holy, and I'll help you. But you have to be willing to change your thoughts, your opinions, your attitude, the way you think in your heart, your words. But God, you hurt me. No, he didn't hurt me. It's just like this. You're not punished for your sins. You're punished by your sins. God isn't some punitive God looking to hurt people. It's sort of like if you have a piece of paper and someone lights it on fire and it starts burning your hand. Ow, ow, ow. And I say, let it go. No, it's my paper. It's my paper. Ow, it's burning. It's burning your hand. I know. Ow, let it go. No, it's my paper. Let it go. I've had this for years. Let the paper go. Ah, finally you let it go and you're burnt. Your hand's burnt. You go, look, you burnt my hand. No, I didn't burn your hand. You should have let go of that long time ago, but you were stiff-necked. Listen carefully. There's some of us, God's been asking you to let go of an offense for a long time. Could have been from your uncle or your aunt or your spouse or child or another Christian. And God's been asking you to let go of that for a long time. And you're not letting it go and it's hurting you. And you're saying, God, why do people hurt me so much? Why do you let this happen to me? And God is saying, I told you to let it go. Yeah, but they should... Shut up. Just let it go. I think our theme song for Christians this year should be from Frozen. Let it go. Let it go. Turn around and slam the door. Just let it go. Why? Because it's killing you. And if you're going to want the presence of God in your marriage, in your life, in this church, we have to allow God to contour our hearts and shape us. We've got to be quickly correctable. If not, listen carefully. He loves you so much, he doesn't want to destroy you, so he's going to move his presence away. And I think, man, that's a chilling verse. He actually moves his presence away because he loves us. And we have to understand God so much to say, Lord, no, I need your presence. So instead of me holding on to something, I've got to be willing to comply. Would you write down number two? Write down, realize your inadequacy.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled The Torque of God by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. We invite you to visit our website where you'll find more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, his books, music, DVDs, podcasts, and much more. That web address is www.enewhope.org. Again, that's enewhope.org. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.